people who love them.
Hello, welcome back. This is The Thing About Cars, recording in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Strongbox West facility over here, located on the west side of town. It's a beautiful day outside, and not that I'm in the business of meteorology, but I think this is the first day this year we're going to hit the 80s.
No.
In terms of the temperature. Not? Mm-mm. We hit the 80s already?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I've got kids. I watch the temperature, and, you know, typical mom, you need to put a hoodie on today, you know, yeah. Mm.
So around the table, we've got
Ben.
Katie.
Tay.
Becca.
And that's Becca. And I'm Mickey, as always. We stopped our last episode before we could really get into what sounded like a ton of fun, talking about Tay's haunted cars. Tay.
Yes, I want to hear about this.
I don't need to hear about this. Yeah.
Is this one car or multiple cars?
I'll just tell you about one.
So you've had multiple haunted cars?
Yes. This one I think is really, really, most of them I think were just.
Did it speak to you in ways like you were driving down the road and it said, get out?
never that bad.
No, I had a 92 Mustang where there were voices coming out of the speaker, and I was not the only one that would hear it, but we never understood what it said. It never sounded bad.
So, no, seriously, though, what happened? What's up with this?
Man, I bought a 1985 Oldsmobile Toronado, and I knew it was probably, I should have stayed away from it when I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Rode by the house, beautiful car, grandson was in the yard washing the car, pulled up, asked the old man if it was for sale. The wife said no, but she was going blind. She was in a wheelchair. She was on her way out the door. So I was like, hey. Who cares? So the old man decided to sell me the car, bought the car. Shortly after, the wife passed. And I think she still, she bought the car brand new. I bought the car with super low miles.
I get this now. This is what I keep saying I'm going to do with my Mustang.
Right, right.
First thing, the radiator just explodes one day randomly.
Oh, wow.
Just explodes. So we get a new radiator hose. Car starts to overheat. I'm like, okay, takes it to the mechanic shop. There's nothing mechanically wrong with the car. If I gave it to you, you could drive it every day, no problems. Mm-hmm. As soon as I get in it and drive, crap just starts to fall apart. Oh. Radiators explode. Tires just randomly blow.
You know why? She told you no.
She did tell me no until today.
So anybody else could drive it. She told you no.
Yeah, the mechanic drove the car all the way to Florida, drove it back, and said, I didn't have a problem.
Where's he going to Florida?
No, because I told him he could
go.
Keep the car and drive. I was like, because as soon as I drive it, I drove it. By the time I made it home, I was 3 miles away from the mechanic shop. Before I made it home, the car started to overheat.
Unbelievable.
It's absolutely haunted. It's been sitting in my yard for like 6 years.
Is it still sitting there?
Yes, it's a beautiful car. It's in great condition, super low miles.
Question I would have then is, if this woman is haunting that car, why is the ghost angry at you and not anyone else who drives the car?
She told him no.
Because she told me personally no.
Yeah, she didn't tell anybody else. It was him personally. She said no to him. So anybody else, you know, ghost's like, well, you know, I didn't tell them no.
Yeah.
I was a young man, and as soon as I got this old lady's car, I went to molesting it, you know. Tint the windows, put wheels on it, put speakers, pull the tape deck out.
Okay. I need to go over there with a smudge stick. And if anybody knows what a smudge stick is, and go over and smudge the car and see if you can start it up. It's Native American way of purifying and getting rid of spirits. Shockingly, I know where to get smudge sticks.
If she stuck to that one car, I'm okay with that, just that one.
But if it's so beautiful and just sitting there rotting away.
But now it's on your property, right?
So cars are meant to be driven.
Yes.
And it's a liability on top of that, you know. So.
Well, I've got, I'm from out of state, so I've got a few cars out there.
Okay.
They're just kind of parked.
Gotcha.
I got one that I'm waiting to get to Atlanta so I can cut it in half, so.
When you say cut it in half, it just means you have your own shop.
No, I have one in South Carolina, but I don't have one here.
Ah, okay.
I'm going to do it in my garage.
There you go.
I'm going to break all kind of laws. Oh, yeah.
would that count as a vivisection? Could we say that we vivisect cars?
If you cut a haunted car in half, yes, maybe that's a vivisection.
Oh, it only applies to haunted cars. It's also be human-like.
I don't know. Yeah.
So any of my cars, then.
Right. All right. So what else we got on the list? We got, Katie, you bought a new car.
Yes, I bought a new car.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first off, I was actually, I had a 2002 Subaru Legacy L station wagon, automatic, and, I was kind of getting tired of it, because, where I work now, I use a commercial vehicle, or the company vehicle, and it's a Dodge van, one of those, Dodge work vans, and the Dodge work vans goes to 50 almost twice as fast as my Subaru, and I was getting kind of...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm shocked.
At first, it was fine, but then, over time, it just kind of, I don't know what happened. I just...
Need some love.
And, I only had that car for... 8 months, and I was actually going to go look at a BRZ, and on my way to, because speaking of the last episode with the hoarding, I had a little bit of stuff in my car, so because I was in the middle of...
How much stuff, Katie?
A lot.
Could you see out the back window?
Yes, I made sure to always do that, but it's that, all spread out.
Well, see, that's your dividing line between messy car and hoarder.
Okay. But I was on my way to go clean out the car to go look at a BRZ, and... well, what happened was the day before I got a flat.
Yeah.
And because of, instead of buying new tires, I was like, oh, I have this. I have a 2000 station wagon, legacy station wagon as well, that was wrecked. And I was like, I'll just change the tires. Well, I didn't put into the account that it had been sitting there for a little bit. And no, the... It got a, has had slight flat spots on the tires, mm-hmm. and I was told, you know, just put air in it, make sure there's enough air just driving around. Well, yeah, I was, after like an hour of just like driving in total, I was just like, you know what, no, I can't do this. I'm just going to go get new tires. And that was before I decided to go get a new car. Well, I'm on my way. I guess the shaking was a little too much, and it stripped out my lug nuts.
Which just
and
puzzles
my tire,
a lot of me.
No, my tire I've heard fell of stuff off. Like that.
And it got stuck between the ground and my underneath the fender, and it completely messed up my fender. Yeah. And so I just was like, you know what? And I towed it to the dealership, and I ended up, I couldn't get a BRZ, but I ended up with the 2016 Subaru Crosstrek 5-speed manual.
Very
so
cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. The one thing I wanted was just because I'm not as comfortable with manuals, mm-hmm. but I want to get more comfortable. So it's like, what better way than get a manual? So that was my only like requirement was a manual with cruise control,
right?
Yeah. Preferably hill assist, which it did have, because you know, not comfortable, don't want to roll back into somebody.
Oh wow, hill assist. There's hill assist on cars now.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Volkswagen's was the first ones I believe that started that.
Geez, I'm remembering learning manual too long ago.
Yeah.
Although manuals are, you know, continually falling out of fashion, so it's like, even if you do have the skill set, the odds are the next time you buy a car, they won't be available.
Oh man, if you got a traditional manual, I could leave my windows down, keys in ignition. It's like theft proof.
Yeah,
it's true.
I've seen that. What was that? Didn't we mention it one time? There was an article that the thieves were deterred because it was a manual.
That's right.
They didn't know how to drive the manual.
Right.
Now, the hill assist thing is not a new idea. That was actually around back in the 40s or 50s. Some of the companies like Nash and Hudson had a version of it. Well, and all it was a little metal ball bearing in a channel somewhere in the master cylinder.
Yep.
If your car was pointed uphill, that ball would roll back and block the fluid flow until you pushed on the brake and dislodged it.
That's awesome. Oh, see, when I was learning, hill assist was the handbrake.
Right.
You don't learn on one with the foot brake. You use the one with the handbrake. So you've got that helping you while you're learning to balance out the gas and the clutch.
Right.
And cars don't really have handbrakes anymore now, I'm noticing. So
no, mine do. Thank God.
Do. But a lot of them don't anymore.
I hate foot brakes.
Katie found something.
The one thing I was looking at, like, you know, because I was looking for a manual that was had cruise control, so a newer car. And so I was like looking up, you know, the best newer reliable manuals. And I didn't know that Toyota still makes manuals for their Tacomas.
For the Tacoma?
Yes.
Interesting.
It's
that is interesting.
2019 Toyota Tacoma Sport is still a manual.
Interesting.
It comes in a manual.
And when I was looking at the Jeeps, I don't know, maybe Tay knows a little bit more, I was stumbling across, it's really hard to find a manual in a Jeep.
Yeah.
And apparently they prefer automatic for going off-road. But then when you're on the forums, sound like, no, we can't find manuals. It was really hard to find.
The shop I'm currently in, a 2000 Jeep Wrangler came through, and it was manual. It was a dealer car. I told the manager, put me in contact with the dealer. I'm really interested in purchasing that Jeep before it ever leaves our shop. I don't even want it to go back to his dealership because it's a manual.
See, I would just think about transmission swap.
That's a lot more expensive than just
that sounds like a lot of work, though,
The reason you want an automatic off-road is because then you can throttle in as much torque as you need, and the wheel will only turn as much as it needs to. You don't have a fixed ratio holding you, and then you don't burn your clutch.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking of, and
this is like in rough terrain where you do have impediments to wheel motion.
My experience is probably more a car that isn't meant to be off-road.
Right.
Being in terrain that was similar to being off-road, I'll say. Right. It was actually on a road, but there had been a storm issue. Right. So automatics will dump torque. So that's an issue. You don't have control over what the transmission is doing when it's an automatic.
Right.
Of course, you've got all of your newer kits. You can program it in, probably.
I don't know. I think if you go fast enough, nothing is an impediment.
They've all still got the...
the brick wall will still stop you. It's just how far you will push the brick wall.
That's right. That's right.
I did say I was never going to own a black car, but I did get a black
car.
You
got a black car.
Yes.
I maintain white cars are far worse.
Yeah, but the black car showed like every scratch and everything.
So have you piled all your stuff into your Subaru yet?
No. I'm going to make sure not to do that this time. My boyfriend told me that he would break up with me if that was the case, because he was the one to get the stuff out of my car and put it into...
Wait, no. Yeah. Legitimate question. Don't you have a roof rack now, though?
Yes. I mean, my last one did have a roof rack, too.
So
it's
get
just
a pod for the top and put all your stuff up there. It's not in the car, right?
But half of my stuff was like tools and my toolbox and stuff
you
that
would need
like
a
I
hoist
would
to help you get it down.
Yes, I would. Right. I'm kind of short.
But so, you know, we were talking about the OCD hoarding thing in your cars, and I got a lot of crap in my car, but it's my office. I drive it around. I jokingly say the office is in the trunk of my car. And so I've got like an extra jacket back there. I've got files. I've got tools. I've got, you know, just gear. In my mind, though, OCD/hoarding in cars is when you've got so much junk in your car that you probably haven't looked at in 6 months, and it's preventing someone from actually sitting in the passenger seat. That to me is hoarding. That to me
shop
is,
joke.
Yeah.
Every female who drives a Nissan, no offense, but Nissan Maximus are always hoarders. You stay away from those women.
I will not confirm or deny that may have been
true?
My case.
No, it's not true. They probably all just have kids, and the kids are the freaking hoarders in the cars. Let
but
me
what,
tell
the
you,
kids, kid has to have room for a seat.
No, they don't care. They have to have room for all their garbage and their plates. And I'm not kidding you. There was so much silverware that my kid pulled out from under the passenger seat the other day because I made them. Wow. I forced them. Xbox until. And there was silverware. There's still cups under there. Toys, wrappers. I mean, the crap they kept back there. And I was yelling about it. I need my backseat back.
No, I mean, I know people who use their cars as rolling storage, right? So that the stuff that's in their backseat and the stuff that's in their passenger seat is literally eye level with them. And it's just stuff that they haven't looked at in months.
And then there's this one car I saw back in the 80s. And this was in Jasper, Alabama. And the car belonged to a fellow named George Lindsay, who... most people out there will have no idea who I'm talking about. This is the guy who played Goober in Gomer Pyle.
I thought
the name sounded familiar.
Right.
Okay.
And he was from up there, and he had this car. It was a full-size Oldsmobile or something. Some big full-size barge, American four-door, probably from the 70s.
Land yacht.
And it was parked in front of his house, and you know he wasn't home that much because he was away doing TV and things. He would leave the doors unlocked, and the public was invited to drop their trash in the car. And then when he came home between his entertainment work, he would drive it to the dump and empty it out.
Huh.
I don't know how this got started or why, but it was a thing.
It sounds more like he's helping the community than helping being a hoarder.
Yeah. It's awfully nice of him, but it's the other side of having a car full of junk, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've got a bunch in mind, but my cars are always... there's always some project going on. So I've had a bunch of stuff sitting in my passenger seat. I'm sure anybody else would think that it's just sitting there, but it's like slowly, okay, this bit's being worked at. So I've got this part over here and this tool sitting here. I'm going through it as I'm working on things. Okay, I've got 5 minutes. I can do this bit right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I'm slowly weeding that out. But I don't know.
Well, we're about to run out of time, and we haven't even done the trivia segment yet.
Oh, no, we'll do trivia.
Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about before we do this?
Oh, no.
No, I'm good for now.
Tay's like, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple other things on the list, but we've got more time. We probably need more time than we have to talk about those things. So the car trivia for the day is, and I think Ben is automatically going to know the answer to this question. Aside from all being names of Volkswagen products, what do the following names have in common? Passat, Golf, Polo, and Jetta. Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What those names have in common. And while we're thinking about that, we'll tackle one last topic off the board. A friend of mine, Jillian, on my Facebook page asked, should white walls or white letters go get mounted inside or outside of the wheel. And my first action, of course, is just personal preference. But apparently someone is telling her it's not just personal preference.
As long as the tire can be mounted either way, it's your personal preference.
Right.
I was actually kind of mad. I had some new tires put on the Jeep not too long ago. I didn't even know it had one side with white letters. And I was kind of mad when I discovered that they had been mounted with the white letters facing inwards. No, I would like those facing outwards.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's just preference as long as the tire can handle it.
I think that's right. As long as it's not a directional tire, it's...
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Right. So, I mean, on the other hand, why would you put a white wall on a directional tire?
Well, there's white wall, white letters, what have you.
Because if you do, then you've got to make two versions of the tire so that... At least as long as you want to either show or not show on both sides of the car.
Yeah.
Now they just do the tire pins for all directional tires. You see, because I got directional tires on my car, mm-hmm. and all my buddies, they drive an import, so they all use just the lettering pins for their tires. So everybody's got colored letters, red letters, white letters, orange letters.
And the origin of white walls is even weirder because it's to simulate the way tires used to look in the old days when, if you go back to like way before World War I in the 1900s, back when cars really were horseless carriages, a lot of the tires you'll see in that era are very either white or light tan in appearance because they're made of a natural latex-based rubber compound. The black rubber only came in with the addition of carbon and vulcanizing, and originally that was just something that was applied to tread only. So you'd have this vulcanized tread stuck on that natural rubber tire carcass, and then the white wall tire then was how they simulated that look when the whole tire became a vulcanized carbon compound.
And it turned into a vanity thing instead of a practical
thing. Those big, huge white walls in the 50s.
Right. So, cool. So hope Jillian gets this answer, and I'll tell her when it goes live. In the meantime, the answer to our trivia question, and then we'll have to wrap this episode after that.
Yeah, it's bugging me. It's like something is sitting back there, and I can't quite... Mm-hmm. Something else, I don't know.
So to reiterate the question real quick, aside from being names of Volkswagen products, what did the following names have in common? Passat, Golf, Polo, and Jetta. Does anybody know besides Ben? Because Ben looks like he knows.
I don't know.
No?
I would like to know.
Ben, you know the answer?
Well, they're all different winds blow around the world, as is the Scirocco.
What?
Gulf wind. Gulf is German for gulf, like gulf of something. That's a wind that blows up one of the gulfs in the world.
Passat is a German word for trade winds.
Right.
How do you know these things?
Just a lot of reading.
Ben is a cyborg, actually.
I believe it.
We've established this in the past. He's got a massive library back there.
Oh, yeah. I read a lot. I religiously maintained subscriptions to both Road and Track and Car and Driver all through high school. I read every car book I could get my hands on. And
so Passat is a name for trade winds. Yeah. Golf is the German word for Gulf Stream. Polo is for polar winds. And Jetta is simply the German word for jet stream. So, yeah.
And if you remember, Scirocco was a desert wind in the Middle East, I believe. Yeah. One exception, though, that Touareg they're making now, I don't believe is a wind. That's actually a tribe of people.
It's a different wind. It's a fart.
It's
a type of wind.
Well, it's a tribe of people?
Yeah. Somewhere in the East.
I'm very sorry to the people that just compared to a fart, but still.
Yeah. Stop it.
The car itself.
All right. On that very crass note, we're going to call it a day. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Please lend us your support via our Patreon page or join the conversation that we're having on our Facebook page. And if you have any other questions or comments, we always welcome your feedback at our website, which is thethingaboutcars.com. And we will look forward to seeing you next week. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Hey.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.